Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Want to move on, though, to the UK, where regulators this morning have announced how they plan to block children's access to harmful content, such as pornography or content which encourages self-harm, suicide or eating disorders. The rules outlined by Ofcom in the UK, the equivalent of Commissioning the Man over here, the rules outlined by Ofcom will see social media and websites being legally required to block the content and can use tools such as facial age estimation, photo ID matching or credit card checks to verify age more reliably. For more on this, I'm joined by Henry Riley, reporter with LBC in London. Henry, can you take us through, please, some of the verification methods that are being proposed?
Philip, as you said, a lot of it is, I mean, sort of that credit card check is one aspect of it. Of course, you have to be 18 to have a credit card, and that seems to be a fairly sensible way of making sure that under 18s don't have that. Facial recognition technology, as you hinted at then, so apps actually using that to check whether the person who is signing up looks over 18. I appreciate it's not sort of completely fault-proof, but is one sort of tool in their armoury. And there's all kinds of different ways in which Ofcom say that the social media platforms will be required to check these ages. So those are the sort of two main ones. And then aside from that, really, once you get onto the apps, there are various codes of practice that can affect you. And by the way, this really is an incentive for many of those social media online messaging platforms to do this, because the fines can be absolutely huge. I mean, Peter Kyle, who's our technology secretary, has been talking about this morning, and he's made the point that there are already investigations going on into social media platforms. Well, in some of those cases, in the very gravest of cases, they can be fined 10% of their global revenue, or £18 million, which is, I know, Ofcom, which is often sort of accused of not having the teeth to enforce this legislation, well, they clearly do have a lot in their armory at the moment. It's coming in this from the 25th of July, and as you were alluding to then, if they don't make these checks and if people aren't properly verified under 18s, then many of these social media firms could find themselves with a big fine.
Okay, but we know that not very recently the tech bros have set their faces against content moderation of any kind. They say, look, that's just not our responsibility. We are a platform. We're not going to get into the role of editing or censoring content. But these proposals will now see Ofcom requiring the social media platforms to ensure that their algorithms filter out harmful content from children's feeds. That sounds a lot like content moderation, doesn't it?
Yes, and I wonder how it's going to go down with our friends on the other side of the Atlantic. What's been interesting is the sort of talk of a UK-US trade deal. At one point, there was talk of actually watering down these proposals and the UK, in some ways, filtering out many of these protections in favour of demands from President Trump and in favour of many of those big US tech companies. Now, whether that's still on the table, I suppose, time will only tell, because these negotiations are seemingly ongoing when it comes to a trade deal. But you're right. I mean, specifically, the regulator talks about pornography or content that encourages self-harm, for example. Now, what these sites will have to do now is they'll have to make sure that they have safe search features and that, for instance, not only is the content hard to find, but actually it's completely hidden if it is suicide or eating disorder material for those people who are under the age of 18. Also tied to that, if a child and their algorithm suggests they don't want to see a particular type of content, again, be that self-harm or eating disorders, then the algorithm has to be changed in a way which means they will not be exposed to it. So similar to what you were saying then, this is, in black and white, content moderation. And so many of the tech companies will be very unhappy, but you've got the boss of Ofcom describing this as a watershed moment. Peter Kyle, our technology secretary, using similar language. They clearly think the time to act is now, but whether it could be watered down in the future, I think is definitely going to be a live discussion.
Was the backdrop for that watershed moment created by the Netflix drama Adolescence?
I think to some extent, and that has certainly prompted a very live conversation here, that particular drama, which the Prime Minister, of course, has invited the producers of and actors from into Number 10. But there has been talk for some time with regards to quite how toxic these social media companies can be. Has that been a catalyst? Probably to some extent. But you look at campaigners like Ian Russell, for example, who chairs the Molly Rose Foundation. That's named after his daughter, who took her own life at the age of just 14. So this, we've known for some time that new codes are needed. The government, when they were in opposition just a few years ago, have been talking about the need to really clamp down and beef up a lot of these regulations. So they've been conscious of it for some time, but is it a far more live debate than it was before that drama a couple of months back? Absolutely.
Any response from the social media companies yet?
Well, Meta have come out in the last sort of hour or so and are clearly unhappy. I think that to some extent they've got to keep their powder dry, really, because they don't want to completely upset the sort of UK government, nor do they want a sort of a diplomatic feud ensuing. And we have history with Meta in that Sir Nick Clegg, our former Deputy Prime Minister, has only just left, but he wasn't a very
having
senior...
Having earned $100 million, apparently.
I wouldn't mind being a pound behind him. He certainly was doing all right there. But you're right, and there's a sort of relationship we have with these social media firms. It's a strange relationship. We know that they, in some ways, sort of contribute to this government's growth agenda, and they're huge companies, many of whom the government would like to locate offices to the UK. But there clearly is that arm of scepticism, which is seemingly only growing.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. We're also joined on the line by Alex Cooney, CEO of CyberSafe Kids. Alex, to what extent are the UK taking several leaps ahead of the EU and Irish regulations with these proposals?
Yeah, they're definitely a step ahead in terms of time frame anyway. So they've imposed these very clear restrictions on companies with this deadline of July. So they need to have done the risk assessment and put in place measures to address those risks by July. We do have online safety codes here. We were actually a little ahead of them at the UK in Ireland by putting in place our own online safety legislation, but it's just taken longer. And obviously we have to comply with the Digital Services Act at the European level. So our domestic laws need to, you know, fit within that broader landscape. And we have deferred on some of the issues that Ofcom is dealing with directly, like the recommender system, as well as age verification. We've kind of deferred to the Digital Services Act on those measures. So I think the problem for us is the pace is very slow. The pace of change is very slow.
Will it work, though? Because there's two things that we can say with absolute certainty here, that if you put something beyond reach, you push it underground. And these teen digital natives are going to find workarounds to pretty much any restriction put in place.
I mean, will it work is a huge question. I would say that, you know, we've often heard in recent times this idea that self-regulation is over, that these companies can no longer determine, you know, how they're going to regulate harm on their platforms. But I don't think we've quite tackled it, or certainly not with what we've got in place so far. I think a lot is still being left up to the companies. You know, my hope when all of this began was that we would put in place a very clear standard, a threshold that they needed to meet, kind of safe by design. You know, we're offering online environments to children that are safe by design, that have the safety considerations built in. We're a long way from that, even with the safety codes that are coming into full force by July in Ireland. And even with the Digital Services Act, which I've heard described as light touch regulation. So none of this goes far enough, and none of it is happening in the kind of timeframes that we need to affect real change.
Are you worried now, though, that this is all very much moving centre stage into a new front in the culture wars? Because you've seen what the social media giants have felt that they have had to do in response to right-wing free speech obsessions in the United States. And now the UK government pushing very much in the opposite direction, with kids stuck in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the last 6 months have not been very uplifting in terms of the what's happening in the tech space, obviously led by the US and the kind of move away from regulation. And I know there's a nervousness at the European level around, you know, pushing too hard against these tech companies. But at the end of the day, we need to, you know, this will be like tobacco. We will look back on this period of time and say, oh, you know, how did we allow this to happen? You know, how did we allow children to go into these environments that, you know, are fraught with risk and harm, you know, without the proper checks and balances. And these companies have just resisted and pushed against really tackling the problem because, of course, it eats into their profit line. You know, the simple fact of the matter is their businesses, they have a profit line. You know, the more they have to do to protect children, the more it costs them. You know, we know they make billions off advertising to them. So, you know, the idea that they would have to change that model fundamentally, you know, is something they're going to push firmly against.
We have this online safety code here that was introduced last November. It's going to be fully up and running by July of this year. It covers providers of video sharing platforms that are based here in Ireland. So who isn't covered? How exposed are we still?
So I suppose one of the big names that isn't covered is Snapchat. And that's, you know, a hugely popular online service that children are using here in Ireland. Other sites that aren't covered would be gaming platforms. And even some of those don't really come, you know, they are regulated at the European level, but not to the same degree because they're not meeting the size threshold of the very large online platforms and search engines. So they are kind of, to my mind, being under-regulated. And again, you know, some of those games like Roblox, you know, hugely popular with children in Ireland. About 40% of 8 to 12-year-olds from our last survey were on Roblox. And it's really concerning when we know that they're not getting the level of regulation and therefore...
Because there's no restriction on who they can be talking to on Roblox, is there?
There's real issues, yeah, with inappropriate contact. You know, people, bad actors know where to go. They know where to find children. They know what, you know, where the popular sites are. And they know how easy some of these companies make it for them to access children. You know, in terms of friend recommendations and so on, it makes it all too easy.
Separate to the protection of children, it strikes me that one of the things that's being proposed by Ofcom in the UK, the introduction of credit cards, giving your credit card details to porn sites in order to gain access to them, that would adjust an awful lot of adult males' relationships with otherwise free porn, wouldn't it? There might be a general societal good to come out of something like that.
We definitely need to impose age restrictions on access to pornography. And to my mind, it's absolutely shocking that we haven't yet done so. You know, that this is only starting to happen now. I think we have to bear in mind that it's not just, you know, pornographic content is very easy to find, not just on commercial porn sites. So, yes, we can age restrict those. But what about all the other places that children, and that, you know, obviously my primary concern is children, can easily access this sort of content. So I think we need to go further and wider than just the commercial porn providers. Children can find such content through a simple search, through a browser. So we need to look at imposing age, as the UK government has described it, highly effective age assurance. So that might include kind of the likes of credit card checks, but it also might include, you know, sophisticated things like facial recognition or age tokens.
And are you satisfied that the technology exists to do all of this very easily, that it really companies can't plead just too great a volume of material out there for them to ever successfully police?
Yeah, I am confident it can be done. And I totally reject the idea that, you know, if we can create generative AI and we can create these very sophisticated recommender systems, we can retrain those recommender systems so that they are not designed only for example, for engagement. You know, we can look at safety and protection. We need to build a safer online environments for children that are safe by design, safe by default. That should not be an impossible ideal. It has to be a realistic ideal. So, you know, I'm waiting for that to come.
And watching this space, Alex Cooney, CEO of CyberSafe Kids, thank you very much.